This is Radio Boston. I'm Adam Ragusea.
I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. And today we're taking some time to look back on some of the most memorable conversations we've had over the course of the year.
One of the conversations I had was with a comedian named Mike Birbiglia. He's kind of well-loved by public radio. You hear him on NPR a lot. He grew up in central Massachusetts. He often appears on This American Life and The Moth, and he has a one-man off-Broadway show called Sleepwalk With Me. Well, I asked Birbiglia, when we had him on a few months ago, if he thought he had made it.
The thing that I like most about my life now as a touring comedian is that people come to see me on purpose. I mean, that's the thing that's really hard when you're starting out is people aren't coming to see Mike Birbiglia. They're coming to see a, quote, comedy night. And that's hard because, like, if you think about, like, music, you never see, you know, tonight, music. You know, it's such a wide genre to say just comedy night. It's like you could, if it said music, that could be like death metal or choir, you know. In comedy, there are just as many gradations of in terms of genres. And you know, people didn't want to see kind of a soft-spoken storyteller sometimes. They wanted to see like an insult comic. Guys walk on stage and they're like, nice shirt, loser. And people are like, it's so true. His shirt does suck. I'm from Jersey. This guy's a genius.
You had gotten to a point where you talked in your book about you thought at least maybe I can be a middle act.
Yeah, that was like, that's what I perceived as the way to have a comedy be my job. It's because in comedy clubs, this is the structure of the show, and it doesn't make any sense. The show opens with an MC who is the least experienced of anyone on the show, which really makes sense. You open the show with someone who has no idea what they're doing, someone who started like a week ago. And they're essentially the chef in the kitchen. And then the MC does about 10 minutes of comedy and then brings up the middle act, which is a kind of an offensive way to describe a comedian, that they're middling. So
they're between the MC and the headliner.
Yes.
In fact, it may be your verb. Your book says there's a verb in the industry, to middle.
To middle. That's a real thing.
And you were hoping you could middle.
I was hoping I could middle. That was best case scenario, which is so offensive intrinsically because it's a synonym for the word mediocre. So you're like, I'm going to do some mediocre comedy right in the middle of the show. The middle does about 20 or 30 minutes, and then the headliner does probably about 45 minutes or an hour. But when you're an MC, you make between $0 and $300 a week. When you're a middle, you can make about $500 a week. And I was like, I can live on that for sure. So all I got to do is do that. And in the process of trying to get there, I ended up being a headliner.
So, Mike Birbiglia, do you feel like you have made it?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm retiring. I'm like Jay-Z and Eminem. I'm retiring.
Mike Birbiglia talked to Radio Boston's Sasha Pfeiffer, and his new book is called Sleepwalk With Me and Other Painfully True Stories. We're remembering some of the stranger, frankly, people that we talked to on Radio Boston this year right now, which leads us to possibly the stinkiest story we ever did on this show.
Stinky but memorable, and it's one that I think of every time I walk my dog, Adam, these days, and I've been walking him a lot recently, because you actually featured and followed a guy named Matthew Mazzotta. He's a 33-year-old Cambridge artist who's made a machine, was it? Converts dog waste into usable energy.
Right, but the execution of that proved a little bit more difficult than I even imagined. And we're going to listen to a little bit of this now, but just a word of warning to the listeners. Fecal matter does play a rather prominent role in this story. It's about 9 o'clock, and I'm sitting in my place in Central Square when I get a call from Matthew. He's down at the Pacific Street Dog Park in Cambridgeport, a little fenced-in gravel area where I take my dog Lucy sometimes. He's telling me, no promises, but tonight it just might work.
Good evening, Matthew.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Very good.
Matthew and I have gone through this same little ritual now for 4 nights, but this time he hasn't come alone.
This is a friend of mine, Paul. Him and Jagan, actually, they're both coming down here tonight. They both helped me install this.
Wow, so you're feeling pretty confident that this is the night?
Well, you know what?
You brought spectators.
Like, yeah. You know, this thing has gotten a little out of hand.
That much has proven to be a theme. I first met Matthew in this same spot 2 weeks ago in the rain.
So this is your baby, huh?
Yeah. This is the Park Spark project.
What are we looking at?
Well, we have two tanks here. One is the digester, which is anaerobic, means no oxygen gets in there. Another one is vented, which means oxygen get in there. That's kind of like your septic tank.
A digester is basically a place where you put any kind of biodegradable waste, like old food or manure, and you collect the methane that comes off it. Methane is an extremely potent greenhouse gas, and if you burn it, you split it into less harmful carbon dioxide and water. Plus, you get some free energy.
I sat in this park with my friend Clay, and I saw the garbage can full with all the dog waste, and I was just like, you know, right there, people use that in other countries for cooking and all this stuff. And then it hit me, what's the potential of all this energy being wasted right now?
Matthew specializes in audacious feats of do-it-yourself engineering and projects that deal with themes like community and the environment. For example, a 15-person bicycle he built called a bussicle. After that epiphany he had at the dog park, Matthew got a grant from his alma mater, MIT, and support from the Cambridge Arts Council to build the world's first public methane digester run on dog poop.
So we're looking inside the digester
now.
Yeah,
and if it was light, you could see right in there and see some cow dung.
Wait, cows? How did cows get in the dog park? Well, here's the thing. You can't just gradually accumulate dog feces in a can and get a digester going. You have to foster a very specific type of methanogenic bacteria. So Matthew figured he'd prime his digester with cow dung. And as his buddies Paul and Jagan tell the story, that's when things first got out of hand.
I mean, just what happened in a matter of one day.
And I said, guys, we got to go down south and get some manure. I got all these buckets. And so we started loading the tanks.
That was the messy part?
Well,
oh no.
You can't just pour it in. You have to mix it with water.
And we had to use water that didn't have chlorine in it. So we had to go and fetch it. It's like 30 or 40 buckets of Charles River water. We made a cocktail with that, with the cow manure.
Cow manure is getting all over us in ways that we're not liking it.
On your hands and your pants on the tank.
At this point, Jagan is so covered that I said, you can't get in this truck with your pants on. So as I'm driving, he's in the back with his pants off. Paul's in the front seat.
There was one point where we pulled out of the Mass Ave and all the lids were loose on the back.
The buckets are all these black lids that are 12 inches.
I don't know, 5 or 6 of them flew out into the middle of Mass Ave. And
they go right in front of the Middle East. And they look like records. So these hipster kids are like, hey, are those records?
Matthew pulled over, and I go to jump out.
I just pull over really fast, and Paul jumps out. Hey, man, don't touch those. They're covered in
Don't touch them. They're covered in cow As I proceed to run out and grab them.
And Jagan's in the back with his hands in his lap, no pants on. And he goes, man, this night's getting out of hand.
That was Radio Boston's Adam Ragusea reporting. And Adam, what happened after that?
He got the manure into the tank, and he got the digester going. He started this culture of methanogenic bacteria that produce flammable gas, but it wasn't quite enough gas. So I went down there with him every night for like 2 weeks, where he'd go up there and like flick his lighter on this lamp and try to light this gas.
I remember that. It was your nightly ritual with your dog to
go
check
was,
on the progress.
Exactly. And it was really, really bringing him down. It got really desolate there for a little while. But then I was there this one night, and it just, there it was. And what was awesome was that they lit it, and then they realized that there was a street light right next to it.
So it was a sad little light dwarfed by a big, large light above it.
Yeah, but it was a big idea.
Although I can think of some parks near my place that there are no lights, and we'd love to have one of those.
I know. Well,
dog poop illuminators.
Exactly. Well, here's the thing. So Matthew's actually, I mean, it's gone from the park now, but it's in storage, and he's going to bring it back in the summer because these things don't work in the winter. You need the temperature has to be right for the bacteria. So he's going to bring it back, and he's looking for different ideas as to what he could do with it and what he could do with that energy besides from a light, and we'll see what he comes up with.
Well, I do hope he does come up with something good. And as we reach the end of this hour, that's what we came up with in terms of highlights from Radio Boston 2010. We're going to end with a little music from an up-and-coming performer Sasha only just recently spoke with. Her real name is Ali Spaltro, but she performs as Lady Lamb, the Beekeeper.
Want to tie today up in my hair, want to collect the hours we still could dance for a jam jar. spine like a kite, want to see you walk through.
Well, we've come to the end of this show, which we've spent looking back on some of the most memorable and interesting conversations we've had on Radio Boston. And we've also come to the end of this year. But Radio Boston will be back in 2011, and we'll keep talking with some of the most interesting, compelling personalities in and around the city of Boston.
And one of those incredibly compelling personalities and voices is, of course, you, Sasha Pfeiffer. And you've done a fantastic job filling in for me during my maternity leave. And
you're
Sasha,
here.
I really want to thank you so much for doing that. And also take a second to congratulate you on your new gig, which is going to be every day right after Radio Boston as the host of All Things Considered right here at WBUR.
Woo! Thank you. It's been very fun being on Radio Boston. I'm really going to miss it, but I'm off to the next adventure, and I'll still be a loyal Radio Boston listener.
As always, the most important part of Radio Boston is our listeners. If you've got something to say, rants, raves, compliments, and criticisms, anything, you can always post a comment on our website, wbur.org/Boston.
Or for a low-tech but still personal touch, you can always leave a message on our listener line at 617-353-1137. That's 617-353-1137.
And for what may be the last time I say this, Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from theangle@boston.com.
Our show is produced by Adam Ragusea, Jessica Alpert, and Dan Mozzi. We've had help over the course of the year from Rachel Gottbaum, Karen Pelland, Ted Seifer, Eddie Mazulis, Jim Kiesling, among many others.
And our outgoing intern is Griff McNerney. Thank you, Griff. Happily, Jason Breslow has agreed to another semester of internship on this program. Thank you, Jason.
Tim Skog is our technical director. Jeremy Bernfeld is our web producer. The senior producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin. Iris Adler is our executive producer. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
I'm Adam Ragusea.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Have a safe and happy new year, and join us again right at the kickoff of 2011 for more Radio Boston.